Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Jim Hochberg has the authority to practice law in courts in both the state of Hawaii and the federal system, which includes the United States Supreme Court, the Ninth Circuit, and District of Hawaii. His ministry is protecting religious liberty, which he's been actively involved in since the late 1980s. First with the Rutherford Institute, and then Alliance Defending Freedom, formerly known as Alliance Defense Fund. Today, Jim joins us to give us an update of what he's been engaged with. But we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. To Christ who loves you, who knows you, who reaches out to you with arms of love and grace. Christ who died on the cross for your sins and shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. Christ who was buried and was raised again on the third day. The living Christ who has touched the heart of Jim Hochberg can touch your heart today. Would you turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's our prayer. That's our hope. Jim Hochberg graduated from the University of Hawaii with a degree in journalism and earned his law degree at the William S. Richardson School of Law at the University of Hawaii. Jim, welcome back to our show.
Aloha and thank you.
What current cases are you working on now?
Well, I assume what you want to hear about is the Alliance Defending Freedom cases, because I also have a private practice. Mm-hmm. The Alliance Defending Freedom cases are the religious liberty cases. And last month in July, we filed a lawsuit against the state of Hawaii. The state gets sued by people, so we sued the governor and the attorney general because the legislature passed a law that the executive branch has to enforce, basically commanding Christian pregnancy centers to promote abortion and the availability of insurance to cover the cost if they couldn't afford it. And government in our country, and it's not like that in every country, people need to realize, but in this country, the main role of the government is to protect our freedom, not take it away. And so we sued because the new law essentially takes away the freedom not to support something that these Christian pregnancy centers do not want to support.
So what's the argument from that you're fighting against? What are they saying that, from the standpoint of the government, that you're going against?
Okay, so the legislature passed a bill. It's Act 200. People know it as Senate Bill 501, and it went into law July 11th, so we sued on July 12th. And what that law compels only the Christian pregnancy centers, by the way, to do is to post a sign in their lobby with font a certain size, and it's a regulated sign that has to be there. What it has to do is quote specific language that the legislature commands that they put on there. They can't just talk about the subject. They actually are required to use particular words, essentially quoting what the words are from the statute. And basically the words require that they, number one, inform the public that comes in that the state of Hawaii has the Quest medical insurance program that will provide money to pay for what is called the Full Range of Reproductive Services, which includes abortion, abortifacients, artificial birth control, all the things that could be medically, legally available, all of which Christian pregnancy centers don't want to support. They, in our particular case, Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor, which has a pregnancy center as part of its ministry within the four walls of its church building called A Place for Women in YPO, is one of our plaintiffs. And then the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, which does business under the acronym NIFLA, is our other plaintiff. And there are five NIFLA pregnancy centers in Hawaii, including the Calvary Chapel one. They do not, they're pro-life. So they don't, they're an alternative to abortion. My argument is there's not an eight-year-old kid that's gone to school in this state that is not aware of abortion and Planned Parenthood. I mean, in a practical survey of life, everybody knows about abortion. It's on television, it's in the movies, it's, you know, in school, it's everywhere. What people call these Christian pregnancy centers for is their alternative to abortion, because what these Christian pregnancy centers do is they help women that are considering abortion because the pregnancy is not one that they intend to keep at the beginning of the meetings with the pregnancy counselors. They want to help them become pro-life, keep the baby, give birth to the baby. They want to help support the new mom with the things moms and babies need, you know, diapers and formula and stuff like that, because they are pro-life. And consequently, the last thing they want to do is have to start their conversation with a new person possibly considering abortion. The last thing the pregnancy center wants to do is have to start that conversation with a discussion about how to get money to get an abortion. It's just counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other huge thing that these pregnancy centers do is post-abortion trauma counseling. And although the regular society doesn't want people to believe it, abortion does have often, many times, a negative psychological effect on the woman, and sometimes the husband or the father of the baby as well. Long into the future, it can be years and years later that people are just suffering psychologically, spiritually, and emotionally because of having participated in abortion.
Jim, would it be fair to say, even in most cases?
You know, I don't do the counseling, mm-hmm. so I don't know the answer to that, and I wouldn't want to guess. But the thing is, what these pregnancy centers do for people who aren't currently pregnant, sometimes a woman or a guy with a woman or whatever will come in, not because they're currently pregnant and considering abortion, but because they're actually suffering from a prior abortion. And what these pregnancy centers do is fabulous post-abortion counseling. So can you imagine if the first thing the counselor has to do, if you're there for post-abortion counseling, is tell you how to get an abortion? It like cuts the legs out from under the entire spiritual aspect of the service, the ministry.
So Senate Bill 501 is a bill for all pregnancy centers. And it's just the issue, I want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. It's something that all pregnancy centers have to disclose, but the Christian pregnancy centers don't want to have to do it.
Well, I wish I could say that our legislature was that brave, honest, and fair. Mm-hmm. But the answer to your question is no. The definition of the pregnancy center through the legislative process changed. It started out as any facility that provides prenatal and post-pregnancy services or counseling and who don't charge for it. And that was only the pregnancy centers because it's a ministry. None of them charge a dime. all the other places where you get those same services charge something. Planned Parenthood charges, community health clinics charge in different ways. OBGYNs obviously charge. So
that's what singles out the Christian pregnancy
centers. Well, that was at the beginning of the process. See, as a bill goes through the process, it goes to hearings. The committee members hear from the public and they amend the language. So the language got amended a couple of times. What it ended up as is the pregnancy centers that are bound by this are pregnancy centers who provide prenatal and pregnancy center counseling and services. And then there's this huge exclusion of everybody basically other than the pregnancy centers. It excludes all the OBGYN offices, all of the clinics that charge. It's just this huge catch-all exclusion
Planned Parenthood basically covers
everybody except the Christian pregnancy centers because they don't charge and they are pro-life.
So it singles out. In the end, it looks like it singles out the Christian pregnancy centers too.
That's a fact, really undermining
the heart or the initiative of what the Christian pregnancy center is trying to provide, or service they're trying to provide.
Correct. Danny, may I jump in for a quick minute?
Suzanne, let's go to break.
Okay.
Hold that. And yes, when we come back, your question. And I want to go and spend a few moments stepping back, Jim, and having you explain the process of what you're doing to argue against what is being presented and what you need to do to prepare, what you hope to do, how far along are we, and of course, Suzanne's question. I don't know if it relates or not, but we'll make it relate because this is such an important ministry that these Christian pregnancy centers provide. And I'll tell you, Jim Hochberg, I'm glad that we have a voice in you with a legal mind and authority to speak on behalf of the unborn and the parents. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Here
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
A woman is considering an alternative to having an abortion. And she decides to go and visit a Christian pregnancy center. But the Christian pregnancy center is suddenly strapped with having to make a presentation that provides information, mandatory information, that undermines the woman's desire, because now it becomes a financial issue. And things get more complicated, and then she conceivably or possibly considers actually going forward with an abortion because things get too complicated. And then what happens to the unborn child? Well, Jim Hochberg is doing something about that as a lawyer, as someone with the authority to practice law in the courts, both the Supreme Court and the Ninth Circuit and District of Hawaii, is doing something about it. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. You can find out more about Jim Hochberg at JamesHochbergLaw.com. JamesHochbergLaw.com. And this program in its entirety is a free gift to you at TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Jim, what is the process? So this is in motion. You're involved. What's the process?
Okay, so I need to take a little bit of a step back, because Hawaii is not the first state where abortion advocates have convinced a legislative body to pass law similar to this. It's happened in Illinois and California, I think Maryland, a couple of different states earlier on, and it starts out a little bit intrusive, and then when that passes in the next state, they try it. It gets a little bit more intrusive. In the next state, they make it a little more intrusive. So Hawaii currently has the most intrusive statute of the mix, because we're the newest one. And what happens is an advocate for causing pregnancies, Christian pregnancy centers to support abortion, will go to the legislature and find a friendly legislator to introduce a bill. And the bill would say the state legislature finds there's a particular problem that needs to be fixed, and this is the fix to that problem. And then they introduce the bill, and it goes through the legislative process, and it comes out at the end. If it passes, then either the governor can veto it, the governor can sign it, or the governor can do nothing, and it becomes law after a certain deadline. This year it was July 11th. He signed it on July 11th with no fanfare at all. But that the process of how it became a requirement is that. Then what happens is, and by the way, there were a lot of people in Hawaii that were at the legislature testifying against the bill for the very reasons that we're now suing over. So the day after the law came into effect, we filed the lawsuit. And I want to make it really, really clear. Don't be giving me credit for this lawsuit, because I'm simply the local counsel in Hawaii. I have the law license in Hawaii that I have access to the courts in the state of Hawaii. But the Alliance Defending Freedom is really the brains and the firepower behind the case, because I'm not getting paid to do the case. And if they weren't involved doing all the hard work, I wouldn't be able to afford the amount of time it would take me to do all that hard work. So everybody understand, Alliance Defending Freedom is really who deserves the credit. And they've been doing these cases all across the country. And so anyway, so we file the lawsuit asking the court, number one, to declare that the law is unconstitutional because it infringes on First Amendment free speech rights. The government cannot compel you in the public school to say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. Why? Because back in the late 60s, the court ruled that that's compelled speech. If a kid doesn't want to say it, the government in a public school can't make you utter words you don't want to utter. It's the same theory. They're requiring these Christian pregnancy centers within their ministry to say words by writing them on a sign and making it available. It can't just be in the drawer. It has to be, you know, easily seen.
Visible, yeah.
And so the first part of the case is declare it unconstitutional. The second part of the case is enjoin the state from enforcing. Enjoin mean stop the state from enforcing the law because it is unconstitutional. And then the third remedy that's being asked for, which I really like, there has been for decades a law on the congressional books that said if a state compelled somebody to participate in abortion against their will, the state could lose the money that it receives from the Department of Health and Human Services. So we have a claim in our case that the government, the state of Hawaii, lose, forfeit all of its Health and Human Services funds from Congress because of this law. And I just think that we need to be as tough as the other side is, and they don't stop at anything. So I think making the legislators that supported this bill explain why they've put Health and Human Services money at risk politically is also a really good thing to do.
How has the, you mentioned Illinois, California, Maryland, in terms of the Alliance Defense, Defending Freedom, they've been providing this pushback, right? Legal pushback in those states. And this third point that you made, where the state could lose funding, how have they progressed? How far along did they get with that third line item?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Department of Health and Human Services is a department of the executive branch. And for the last 8 years, until January 20th, 2017, Barack Obama was the head of the executive branch. So there was absolutely no movement whatsoever. Prior to his presidency, it wasn't an issue. And at this point, we're 6 months into a new administration running the Department of Health and Human Services. So at this point, nothing's happened yet, but the case only just got started less than a month ago. The way it works is you file the lawsuit, you serve the lawsuit on the defendants. They have 20 days to respond. They have filed their answer in response. We now have a September 11th scheduling conference with a judge to determine various discovery and other procedural deadlines. On September 22nd, we have a motion for preliminary injunction, which we filed at the same time we filed the lawsuit. We're asking the federal judge on September 22nd at the hearing to preliminarily rule in our favor that the law is unconstitutional and should not be enforced against our clients while the case is pending. So you've asked what's been going on in the other jurisdictions. It's very interesting, actually. Except for California, all the other jurisdictions have ruled in favor of the pregnancy center, saying that it's a First Amendment violation. The government cannot compel speech that people don't want to utter. California, with its infamous Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is overturned way more than half of the time when the cases are reviewed by the U.S. Supreme Court, actually took a different tact and claimed in a case out of California that it's called the Becerra case because the person's name is Becerra. The Ninth Circuit ruled that it was commercial speech because the clinics in California were licensed. And they said that this kind of speech, being commercial speech, is similar to the government requiring hot dog manufacturers to label hot dog packages with the contents. and therefore it was not unconstitutional. So what that set up last year, pretty late last year, was what's called a conflict in the circuits. The Second Circuit and the Fourth Circuit ruled that these bills were violations of the First Amendment. The Ninth Circuit in California ruled that it wasn't, on this crazy theory of hot dog labeling. And so the U.S. Supreme Court has been asked to take the appeal from the Becerra case in California and solve the inconsistent results in the different federal circuits. And we should be hearing fairly soon. September 25th is when they're going to make their decision on whether they're going to take the case or not. So this, it's a new kind of a law. It's only been around for about 5 years in all these different places. And it looks like the Supreme Court is probably going to have to take the appeal, because you can't have such radically different federal court rulings on the same matter, depending on what state you live in.
Suzanne, I know you had a question. I do want to follow up with Jim on this one, but go ahead and
well, actually, I just wanted our listeners to know that I was one of 51 people testifying at the Senate committee, and several of us asked, okay, if you're going to force the pregnancy centers to post this sign, then can we at least ask that you would post at Planned Parenthood and other facilities the information of the Christian pregnancy centers, which would be equal. I mean, of course, we're opposed to it, but if they forced the Christian pregnancy centers to have information about, I'll just use Planned Parenthood as an example, then in fairness, could something be posted? And it was just absolutely shot down immediately. So there's just such an imbalance of fairness. Is that a fair way of putting it, Jim?
Well, it's actually very accurate. And the thing that makes what happened so egregious is the stated purpose in the bill for the law was that there are, I forget what it was now, 16,000 unwanted pregnancies. I forget what the number. They had some number in the bill of unwanted, unplanned pregnancies. So these women need all the information available so that they can make the best choice of what they want to do with this unplanned pregnancy. And if that truly was the problem they were trying to address, then Planned Parenthood should have to tell women considering abortions about post-abortion trauma. They should have to tell people that abortifacient drugs are reversible if dealt with within a certain period of time after the first pill is taken. It's a multi-pill prescription. They should have to tell people about the scientific connection between abortion and the occurrence of breast cancer in women. If you really want women to have the full plate of information to make a wise decision. But that didn't really seem to be what the goal was, because otherwise Suzanne's suggestion would have been openly accepted.
Alliance for Defending Freedom. Today we have Jim Hochberg with us, explaining a very contentious and much needed representation in terms of him and the Alliance for Defending Freedom to stand strong and provide a presentation in the courts. When we come back from our break, more from Jim Hochberg, and talking about this very, very vital. It's a matter, really, a matter of life and death.
Mm-hmm. The unborn
child cannot speak for himself, cannot speak for herself. Innocent life. But here it is. It's an issue that has to be dealt with in the courts. There are lobbyists. In fact, I want to talk about lobbyists with Jim when we come back. Critical role that he's playing and they play. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It is a big part having to do with religious liberty and participating in government as citizens here in Hawaii and citizens of the United States of America. Jim Hochberg, he also devotes a substantial part of his professional time during the spring each year to lobbying the legislature over religious liberty issues. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and we're grateful that you're with us today. This is a very important matter that we're discussing today regarding protecting an unborn child. That's what it boils down to. Jim, the lobbying process, you know, you've been involved in that. What does that involve, and how far have you seen it go in relation to this particular suit?
The lobbying is basically talking to legislators about bills that have not yet become law. And it can start way before there's even a written bill, or it can occur after a bill gets written. And the thing that people really need to understand, and Suzanne had shared that she was one of 50 people testifying in opposition to this bill. Most of those people were not registered lobbyists. Most of those people were citizens who were armed with the information. My guess is she probably got it from Hawaii Family Forum, and went down to the legislature to share her perspective as a citizen, because the citizens own the government in our country, and we've forgotten that, and we tend to leave it up to other people to handle for us, and it's not designed that way. And if the Christian community takes that perspective, but the non-Christian community continues to participate, our culture through the government will become very un-Christian and even anti-Christian, because the lawmakers are responding to the people who come and talk to them about proposed laws. This one in particular is a great example. Out of 1,300,000 people in the state of Hawaii, 51 people showed up to testify.
And Jim, can I just add, and Danny, I want to share this with our listeners, because I think it's important for them to get a picture of this. Out of the 51, 49 were opposed and 2 were in favor, both of which were either employed or a part of Planned Parenthood, and yet we lost by a unanimous decision. The legislators' minds were made up before they even walked in that room. They allowed all this testimony, and then immediately voted in favor of passage of the law. So we need more citizens. I know that it might sound contradictory here, but we do need more people to take an interest and take their time. And if I can give a plug for Hawaii Family Forum, be informed and educated to come before our legislators.
And the other thing, too, is in Hawaii, and I grew up here. I understand the culture very well. We don't vote for people to represent us because of their ideas. We don't. We should. But we vote for our aunties, cousins, brothers, sisters, granddaughter, or something stupid, you know. That's how we vote. And therefore, we get people passing laws because we put them in office without any concern whatsoever of what they thought a good law was. And we got to stop doing that.
You mentioned, Jim, about the Second and Fourth Circuit Court and then the Ninth Circuit. And the Supreme Court is going to issue a ruling on the 25th, September 25th. Has anything like that, I forget the word you use, it was a legal term, when there's a mix-up, the circuit courts clash. Has something like that happened before? Does it happen often? And if so, can you give us an indication of how you think, looking at the balance of the court, SCOTUS, how you think they will come down on their
Yes, I can. I can put that in a perspective I think we can all sort of grasp. Okay, so first of all, just so that we understand, on September 25th, the Supreme Court is going to answer the question, will they or will they not review the case? They're not going to answer what the result of the case should be. That will be next year, probably. But the second part of your question is, does the split in the circuits happen very often? And I have to tell you, there are 9 Supreme Court justices. That's it, 9. And they can only do a certain amount of work in a year. And therefore, they have to limit the cases they have an obligation to deal with. And the way they do that is most cases are presented to them by a petition asking the court, would you review this case? Most of the time, those are rejected, by far. One of the few times that they do take it is when 2 or more circuits in this same federal system have conflicting resolutions of the same problem. And since the circuits are geographic, Hawaii is in the Ninth Circuit with California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and then the Fifth Circuit has Texas and Alabama and that kind of a thing. The federal law can't be different depending on where you live. So the Supreme Court will take cases when what they're doing is resolving a split in the circuits. When they make their decision on that issue, it's for all the circuits.
So it becomes law of the land.
Correct.
So what do you think? What with the way things are going. I mean, we've got when you talk about Hawaii, you talk about California, you get a very heavily Democratic legislature, judiciary.
Oregon too, Washington too.
Right?
Yes, the whole West Coast.
So when you look at it from that standpoint, it seems like a pretty pretty well thought through and well oiled strategy to move the legislation to create a kind of a groundswell to with an agenda to make this law of the land.
Well, and look at it in a little bit of a broader perspective. Where did physician-assisted suicide get passed first? On the West Coast in Oregon in the Ninth Circuit. Where is the marijuana stuff happening? In California and Colorado, you know, in the more liberal states.
Well, but also Washington and
Oregon. You know, yeah.
They've
so,
now opened
correct.
It up.
So the thing that we need to realize is our federal judges get the job as a federal judge because they are nominated by the governor of the state they come from. And then the United States Senate has to confirm them. So it's not a surprise that the Ninth Circuit, with all of those liberal governors, have a bunch of liberal judges. And the founding fathers were so brilliant that they realized politics could run the federal judiciary at that circuit court level. So the Supreme Court oversees the circuit courts and has the power to fix bad decisions. So what kind of Supreme Court do we have today? A lot of people hear a lot of things that are very, very negative about the President of the United States. But I will tell you that Justice Neil Gorsuch is a gift from God through the president, because I don't think we could have, as Christians, a better U.S. Supreme Court justice. He's solid, solid, solid on the law. He's also very healthy and young, so he'll be there for a very long time, more likely than not. What do I know? But I think with him there, the chances are pretty high that the Supreme Court will take the case number one, because there would be five votes against the four who wouldn't want to. And then once they take the case, it's probably going to be five votes to go with the protection of the First Amendment, because really and truly in this pregnancy center matter, there is no reason to force these little teeny tiny pregnancy centers that are pro-life to market for Planned Parenthood. There's really no reason for it.
You know, Danny, I wonder if our listeners are aware of the fact that the federal government funds Planned Parenthood to the tune of $500 billion with a B dollars.
Well, I'm not.
I'm being corrected. M million. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a half a billion.
I'm half a billion. I apologize. Thank you, yeah. Jim. But that, I mean, it's just something our listeners might not even be aware of.
When we come back from our break, I'd like to hypothesize or speculate a little bit with you, Jim Hochberg, about the Supreme Court of the United States. Maybe get your insight on the matter of what if, because the balance, you mentioned Gorsuch being such a young person, you know, as far as one of the nine, but there are some other members of the court who are up in age. And what will happen if another replacement during the Trump administration, that opportunity comes up? What are some of the implications with regard to the law of the land? Some of the laws that are already in existence, could there be a possibility of some change taking place? Maybe some drastic changes being made if that were to take place. Three branches of government. We're talking about the Supreme Court. Stay with us. We'll be back with Jim Hochberg.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Alliance Defending Freedom. You can find out more about Alliance Defending Freedom at adflegal.org. Again, adflegal.org. Alliance Defending Freedom. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer and Jim Hochberg. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about the Supreme Court. We're talking about the laws. We're talking about Christian pregnancy centers. We're talking about lives of the unborn, protecting the lives of the unborn. You can find out more about this program. You can get this as a free gift to you. Share it. There's a lot of information here. Share it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Jim, Supreme Court, what would happen if there's another change? Neil Gorsuch was just sworn in fairly recently. They're in there for what? The Supreme Court justices are in there for life, right?
That's true. That's why they can get so old.
So, and in this case, really,
there are several in their 80s right now.
And people know this, that a president's legacy, you know, the term is maxed out at 8 years if you win both terms. But the real legacy in terms of impact, in many respects, is the justices that are sworn in during your administration, correct?
That's true, if you get the chance to do that. Not every president has the opportunity to nominate a Supreme Court justice.
So you have several that are in their 80s. What happens if, under the Trump administration, we're just playing a hypothetical game,
speculating.
So to speak. Speculating.
Some of us are praying.
What do you foresee?
Well, when Donald Trump was a candidate, he had a list of 21 potential nominees for the U.S. Supreme Court. Neil Gorsuch was one of them. And for a lot of evangelicals, apparently, that list of potential Supreme Court justices is what caused them to vote for him. And I actually was one of them. And so for those of us who voted for him because of that, we've already got everything we wanted out of this president, so everything else good is gravy. But, Danny, I'm a missionary. We're both missionaries. And I came here with a mission. And my mission was to talk generally about religious liberty, because the people that are probably listening to this show are believers. And they should think about religious liberty. And I don't think they do very often. Especially if they live in this country, because we're pretty darn comfortable. But if God has a commandment that says you shall have no other gods besides me, he's obviously interested in religious liberty. Because if we were not allowed to worship him, then why would he make that commandment?
I would say, Jim, let's be frank. One could give lip service to it. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree, Jim Hochberg, that it's a very important issue. But until it touches me, until something that I want, something that is valuable to me is taken away or is threatened, then my attention changes.
That's very true.
I'm not just, my ears begin to perk up, the hair on the back of my neck might begin to stand up, and then I think, okay, well, this is touching myself, this is touching my family, there are implications. So I think that's an area. Oh, so my point is on this one is that the reality is that most people don't really feel, whether it's in Hawaii or even across the country, the voter turnout is low pretty much everywhere across the country. So because we are insulated, so how do you penetrate that?
Well, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you look at the book of Daniel, the first six chapters of Daniel are an exposition of religious liberty. It's really nothing else. These three guys in the furnace, because they were standing for their religious liberty. I love those. I love the book of Daniel. I love it because it should touch believers into realizing God thinks religious liberty is so important that he intervenes.
Well, he does. He intervenes. He has done that in America. People like you and in this particular situation right now, there's still tension. There's still fighting, arguing going on through the system, through the proper channels. But in general, and that you and I can talk until we're the proverbial blue in the face, but it's still not going to move people. And that's the thing. I mean, we can quote the biblical passages. We can make people feel guilty. And they're still, I'm not saying this to be a downer. I just want to hopefully touch our listeners with the reality. At least we are not unaware of the neutrality that exists, even in the body of Christ, when it comes to speaking out, stepping out, 49-2,
mm-hmm.
Suzanne being one of the two. So
No. Excuse me. I was one of the 49.
Yeah, one of the 49. But didn't you say 49 were for it and only two were against it?
No, that's the irony of it, Danny. 49 of us were there to oppose it. And only two, Planned Parenthood, were there. And yet they voted 5-0 to support it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Danny, let me address your question this way.
Yeah.
What this pregnancy center case is illustrating is that in the state of Hawaii, the state legislature, the House of Representatives and the Senate, think it's quite all right for them to tell a church, Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor, whose ministry is a place for women in YPO, to say, you know what? We want you to hang a sign in your church building that says particular words that we are ordaining, and we are going to deputize every human being and every business entity in the state of Hawaii that is aggrieved by your failure to sue you.
Yeah.
So that's on the question of support and marketing of abortion. It's exactly the same principle for every Catholic church in the state of Hawaii. If the legislature was to decide, you know what? We have a law that says if you're not 21 years old, you cannot consume alcohol. And we know Catholic churches use real wine at communion. So every church, right where you do communion, you got to put a sign up that reminds everybody that if they're not 21, they're not legally permitted to consume alcohol. Or it could be something else. The government is not, under the First Amendment, permitted to force people to speak words they don't want to speak. And when it's inside the church, which this bill is, it's even more egregious. So people need to wake up.
Right. I hear you, and I'm with you. Jim and Suzanne, I think we're on the same page. But the reason I bring up the Supreme Court is that in Hawaii, realistically speaking, you got 49-4-2 against, or what? It's very unbalanced. But because of the strength, because the legislature is blue,
yes, completely.
And because the executive branch is blue. And I think even in Hawaii, the judicial branch, as was explained, is generally blue. What do we expect? And so if something like the second and fourth and the ninth and this conflict goes, hopefully it gets, sounds like it's going to be received, and then a ruling eventually down the road, a lot of it for Hawaii's sake, and even for even putting some roadblocks in the agenda of Planned Parenthood and the lobbying that is highly sophisticated and highly complex and highly financed, even by the government,
mm-hmm.
It goes down to the feasibility of an additional Supreme Court justice.
Well, no. And I would say do not wait for the Supreme Court of the United States to render decisions in cases. That takes 10 years, But you know what? There are 25,000 residents in the state of Hawaii in each House district. House members get elected with less than 5,000 votes of those 25,000. It is so easy to elect people to the House if we would participate. It is so easy. And if the House of Representatives in the state of Hawaii, there's 51 of them, if 26 were like-minded to our values, the legislature would not be able to pass any more bad laws like this.
So, Jim Hochberg, I hear a call being made for citizens of Hawaii with conservative values to rise up and run for office.
And for voters with conservative values to use those values as the basis for their vote.
Well, and I hope, number one, that those dear ones who are hearing this, and this is really, Jim, as a lawyer, we're talking about politics, some political reality. We're scratching the surface, but at least we're scratching. That there's some movement that moves along, and I hope that through this there would be, we're adding, hopefully fanning a flame that a spark is not burning out, but we need to fan it and more involvement. And Jim Hochberg, Suzanne Maurer, you are involved, and we need more to be involved. And a parting shot from you, Jim, before we close the show, and I'm certainly set on fire even by just listening and participating in this as well.
My parting shot is Jesus loves you, my friend.
Well, spoken as a Christian should say, and I know it comes from your heart, and I appreciate it because your life backs it up, and you're in the trenches. Jim Hochberg, Alliance Defending Freedom, adflegal.org. Jim,
Danny,
thanks.
Could we also just let Jim spell his last name just for our listeners?
Sure. It's H-O-C as in cat, H, B as in boy, E-R-G, Hochberg, high mountain in German.
Yes. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Jim Hochberg. My friend, I hope that you've been challenged. Yeah, challenged today by Jim Hochberg. Again, jameshochberglaw.com. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment, I believe, to open your heart to Jesus Christ, even in a contentious time like this. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. It is He who will save us. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jim Hochberg, jameshochberglaw.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chan Sontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.